Hey there, mama. You're listening to the Lift the Shame podcast. I'm your host, Crystal, mama of five and your family's intuitive eating dietitian, here to help you cut through the diet culture clutter so you can enjoy freedom with food as a family. I'm on a mission to help you end the generational legacy of diet culture in your home so you can experience motherhood free from food guilt and body shame. Listen in weekly for guidance on how you can ditch diet culture, heal your relationship with food in your body, and confidently raise intuitive eaters. Let's dive in and lift the shame together. Hey, mama, welcome back to the show. I am so glad to have you here for another episode and just appreciate you taking time out of your week to tune in and listen in as we have these conversations about different aspects of mothering free from diet culture and all that that entails. And today I am answering a question from one of you and just really appreciate when you reach out. I love hearing from you and learning how I can better serve you on this podcast. So just a friendly reminder that if you have a question you would like me to answer anonymously on the podcast or a topic suggestion, I would love to hear from you. So you can always connect with me via email at hello@crystalcargis.com. Feel free to send your thoughts or questions, and I would love to hear from you. So today's question revolves around this idea of how do we create boundaries around food, or how do we say no to our kids when it comes to their food requests without causing feelings of restriction? And I love this question. And as always, there are many layers and many different aspects connected to this question that I'm hoping we can begin to uncover today. Because perceived restriction in the feeding relationship with our kids can become very problematic. And when our kids feel like certain foods are out of reach or not accessible, this can sometimes make them become obsessive about them or preoccupied with them. And when things begin to feel like they're up on a pedestal for our kids, it really disconnects them from their innate intuitive eating abilities. And when it comes to raising an intuitive eater, we really want to do our best to preserve those. What this doesn't mean, though, is that we always have to say yes to our kids' food requests. And I think this is a common myth or misconception about raising intuitive eaters, is that we just kind of give them free rein and let them eat whenever they want, essentially. In reality, though, our kids do need us to exhibit some leadership with food and to take some responsibility off their shoulders when it comes to deciding when they're going to eat or what they're going to eat. Because if we just put that on them to figure out, that can also become problematic and make food a little more chaotic for them. So it's a fine balance. It's a fine line. And as always, there's a lot of nuance here. And there's really no right or wrong way per se. I know for a lot of us as parents, as we're navigating these situations with our kids, you know, we want to be able to support them in the best way possible. And I know this is so true for you, especially if you are healing from a difficult relationship with food and your body yourself. It can be really challenging to know, like, how do I navigate these situations, or what do I say? Because I know that you're so desperate to create a different foundation for your kids, and you want to do everything in your power to prevent them from dealing with the same struggles that you may have dealt with when it comes to food and your body. And I feel that, and I know that, and I'm with you. And I also want you to just explore this area with a lot of nuance and curiosity, and also understanding that you know your child best and that nothing compares to the intuition that you have as a parent. And sometimes that is the best guidance in our lives, and especially when it comes to parenting and feeding, which is parenting. And again, sometimes when we don't trust ourselves or feel like we know the answers, it can be easy to want to lean on outside opinions, outside perspectives. And I also just want to highlight that your perspective and your intuition matters too. So just keep that in mind as we explore this topic, because again, there's no really right or wrong way here. And I just want you to consider some of the different factors that might inform how you respond to your child's food request. But this idea of how do I say no without creating restriction or feelings of restriction is a very important question. And there are going to be times where inevitably we need to say no. And it is important to have those boundaries around food. And again, creating boundaries around food is not in opposition to raising an intuitive eater. I think sometimes we feel so much pressure as parents, like I don't ever want my child to feel restricted. And so it may feel challenging to say no in any situation. And again, there's definitely times and places where we do need to say no to our kids' food requests. So for example, let's say that your child maybe is asking or requesting for food outside of the designated meal times or snack times that you have. Or let's say that, you know, it's a situation where maybe you can't provide food. Like I know one time, this is just a story that I thought of, is I remember being at a doctor's appointment with my child, and she was asking for food and was kind of like rummaging through my bag. And the office had a strict policy, like no food in the office. And, you know, that's an example or a situation where she was asking or requesting food and I couldn't provide it for her at that specific time. Or sometimes our children are asking us for certain foods that we may not have available or that we can't give to them in the specific moments that they are requesting them. So like, for example, you know, going to the grocery store and having your kiddos with you, and your child might see something that they really want you to buy and asking, mommy, can I have this? Can I have that? And of course, like when we're thinking about, you know, just the practicality of it, it's not feasible to say yes to all of our kids' food requests. So, you know, there's definitely times and places where it's very appropriate to set boundaries and create boundaries and say no. And, you know, again, how we approach it is going to be really helpful in considering the potential implication. So, you know, one thing to consider is like, what is the impact of our children constantly hearing no around food? And, you know, yes, a potential consequence is that it may create perceived restriction around that food, a specific food that they're asking for, or food in general. So let's talk about quickly why it may be challenging to say no to our kids. And then I want to give you some things to consider when it comes to kind of triaging the situation. Like, when should I say no? How should I say no? And then definitely we'll talk about some tangible ways that you can approach situations where you do need to say no to the request, essentially, but how to do it in a way that minimizes restriction. But first, why may it be challenging to say no to our children? And again, parenting doesn't happen in a vacuum. And so much of our parenting is informed by our personal early childhood experiences. And so it's really important or just helpful to examine, what was your relationship like with your caregivers? Were there healthy boundaries that were set within your home, within your family, that helped you to feel safe, that helped you to feel like certain things were reliable? Was there a lot of passivity maybe around boundaries? You know, sometimes I find that there's kind of varying extremes here, where sometimes some of us can grow up in a very controlling household where really we felt like we had no voice or say, or that our needs didn't really matter. And we were met constantly with no, or maybe didn't even feel like we were safe enough to ask for different things because we knew we would be met with a no. So, you know, sometimes growing up in that very like strict, controlling type of environment, you know, can make it harder to say no to your kids, because sometimes we want to do the opposite of what we experienced growing up, right? And so that can be something that is happening in the backdrop. Or if healthy boundaries or you know, expectations around different things with growing up were not modeled as well, sometimes when we don't have that modeling of what that looks like, it can be hard to create something for our children that we never had demonstrated for ourselves growing up too. Also, again, I kind of alluded to this already, but for those of us who have had a difficult relationship with food, or maybe, you know, if you're still healing through some challenging issues around food and your body, first, I just want you to know that you're not alone. And second, you know, this is absolutely playing a role into how you may be navigating food with your children. And one thing to consider, you know, if you have struggled with that restrictive piece of food, where that is part of your food story, or maybe part of food trauma for you, where food was restricted either intentionally or non-intentionally, you know, that can make it harder for us to create these kind of healthy boundaries and routines for our children, because we don't want them to experience that same thing that maybe we dealt with in our past or are currently dealing with. And restriction is a big piece of this. If you have felt restricted in any way, again, and this is a big part of disordered eating and eating disorders, chronic dieting, like this element of feeling restricted, like I don't get to eat what I want or what my body really needs. And a lot of us can be really fearful for our children to experience those same feelings. And so sometimes what happens kind of inadvertently is that we don't want them to feel like any of their food requests are denied, right? Like we want to say yes and make sure that they always get to have the things that they want and that they never are in that position of feeling restricted. And that can certainly play a role here too, in terms of influencing how you feel about saying no to your child's food request. Another thing to consider too is just as parents, having capacity to, you know, basically be available for co-regulation with our kids when they are feeling distress from us saying no to them. And this is a tough one because oftentimes the easier thing to do emotionally for our children and for us is to say yes so that we maybe don't have to deal with the ramifications of them hearing no. And what I mean by that is oftentimes when our children don't get their way, right? Or don't get what they want when they want it, that's going to bring up a lot of big feelings, as is normal, right? As it should. And what happens though is sometimes as parents and caregivers, especially being the primary caregiver, you may feel like you don't have capacity to deal with that. And honestly, like today in our world, like so many of us are overburdened, overloaded, burnt out, and don't necessarily feel like we have capacity to be available for our kids for co-regulation. So that's something to consider too. And again, all these things are in the background playing a piece in influencing how we respond to our children's food requests. And so I just want you to consider, like, it's not always just black and white. Like there's a lot of different factors and different things that are going on. And you know, you're doing the best that you can. It's hard. It's hard having these kind of experiences around food with our children. And these can also be great learning opportunities too. And so I want to just give you a few things to consider as you're navigating, like, how do I help support my child in these moments? Or what should I consider when I'm deciding whether or not to respond to their food request and how to respond? Because again, raising an intuitive eater does not equal or does not mean that you always have to say yes to your child's food requests, because again, that's not necessarily practical or feasible. And it's more about how we're approaching it and how we're responding. But some things that I want you to consider as you're making these decisions, you know, I'm going to go through three things here. And the first one is there a hidden agenda behind how you're responding to your child's food requests? So a hidden agenda is what it sounds like. It's something that we either want our children to do, but it's not spoken. It's like an unspoken expectation that we have for them. And this shows up in feeding a lot and way more than you may think. And a really powerful step towards working through this is examining if you are holding on to any hidden agendas or expectations that you have, and is that influencing how you're responding to your child's food requests? So for example, I know for a lot of parents that sweets are very uncomfortable, and there's so many reasons for that. And I have talked a lot about this on the podcast, so I'll share some links to previous episodes about sweets in the show notes for you if you're interested in going back and listening to some of those. But, you know, the point is that a lot of us may feel uncomfortable with our kids eating sweets, and a hidden agenda is something that we're wanting in order to help manage the distress that we may be feeling within ourselves. So, for example, it's like, you know, if I could get my child to eat less of that, I would feel better. Or if we didn't have this in the house and they didn't want it or weren't asking for it, then that would help me feel better. And so, you know, it's a subtle thing that we might engage in in order to manage some of the distress or discomfort that's coming up for us. And a huge piece of supporting your child and raising an intuitive eater is being really aware of any hidden agendas that are creeping up with you, for you, whether it's around your child's appetite, how much they're eating, their food preferences, even their body sizes. These are all things that can bring up a lot of distress and discomfort for us. And a hidden agenda kind of sneaks in as a way to manage some of that distress that we're dealing with. And it's important, again, to be really real with yourself and ask yourself, am I responding to my child out of my hidden agenda? So if my child is asking me, can I have this? Would it make me feel better, you know, for them to not eat that? And therefore, I'm going to say no. So again, or I want them to eat less, or I don't want them to eat this particular food. Are those hidden agendas now dictating your specific ways and how you're responding to your child's food requests? And if so, sometimes in those situations, that's kind of like your litmus test to help you decide maybe how to respond to them. It's not everything, right? But again, it can be a really telling factor in maybe what needs to happen in that particular moment in order to help you and your child move through this food situation. So, you know, again, going back to the sweets, because that's a very common example. If your child is asking you, can I have another cookie? And they're really excited and want more. And within yourself, like maybe your initial default reaction is to say no, because your hidden agenda is to get them to eat less of a food that you feel uncomfortable with. Again, that's a litmus test that can help you decipher what or how to respond in that moment. Maybe what really needs to happen is they do need to be allowed to have another cookie and to have a higher quantity of sweets to help them feel more satiated. And are you in a gatekeeping position working to manage your distress around that? Or are you working to actually help your child move through that situation, right? So the hidden agenda piece is a very important one and something that I'll likely have more conversations around, because there's so much that influences our hidden agendas. And look, I just want to encourage you to really move through this as compassionately and gently with yourself as possible, because for so many of us, our hidden agendas are serving a purpose. Like our hidden agendas are essentially helping us manage discomfort, and that discomfort that we feel within our bodies when we move through these feeding situations with our children is often tied and connected to a deeper piece of our food story that still has not had resolve around it, so to say. It's all connected, and you're not a bad parent for wanting to kind of, you know, push your child in eating a certain way or anything like that. Again, it's all connected to deeper parts of you that maybe felt unsafe when you were asking for more food or wanting to eat certain foods as a child yourself. And all these things are interplaying. Like I said, it's never just a one clear-cut answer. There's always many different layers here. But really take a moment to just examine what are potential hidden agendas that you may have when it comes to how your child eats, and do this through a very curious and compassionate lens, not a place of shame, because that's not going to help you move through this. And that's certainly not going to help your child, but more so from a lens of what's showing up here when my child is maybe asking for certain things or wanting things that I don't feel totally comfortable with. And you can always use that as a litmus test to help you decipher what might be the way or most beneficial way to respond to them in those moments. Okay, so second thing we want to consider here is just how are we communicating to our children in the way that we respond to them? And just remember that the way we communicate to our kids happens both verbally and non-verbally. So verbally seems the most obvious, right? Like what we actually say, the words that we're saying to them. And it's also important to remember that our body language communicates a lot of messages to our kids as well. And I'm kind of laughing to myself because it's so relatable, right? When you're in those moments, like there's been so many times where I'm in the grocery store with my kids and, you know, there's so many things happening. Kids are trying to pull things off the shelves, running around. I'm trying to figure out what I need to buy. I mean, a lot of stress happening. And then I have a kiddo who's like, Mom, can I have this? Can I have that? Can we buy this? Can we buy that? And, you know, I just want to hold space for the humanity of being a mom and navigating these types of situations and feeling like, oh, just stop asking me. Like, we just sometimes like want to shut down the request because it can be annoying. It can be stressful. It can wear us down to a point where, you know, we don't have capacity to hold space for the things that they're showing interest in. And, you know, again, that's why I'm saying and want to encourage you to really just view these topics with so much compassion, because there's a lot that we're navigating as moms. And in the same vein, also just be aware of what your default responses are. Like, what are the ways that you're reacting to your child? And oftentimes it's in our reaction where things can be subtly communicated to them. So if our child is asking a question, you know, or a request around food that is triggering us for some reason, or we don't feel comfortable with their requests and, you know, we're kind of grappling with how to answer it, you know, be aware of what are your default reactions and how may those reactions be communicating messages to your children. And ultimately, this is where we want to hold space for those nuances of being able to maybe say no to the request in the moment and also validate what they're showing interest in. And we can do that through our tone of voice, through how we communicate, through what our verbal and nonverbal messages are showing our kids. And again, some days you're going to have capacity to do this and other days that you may not. But I just want us to always be examining like what's happening underneath the surface, right? Because this is really more so about like what's coming up for us and how we're working through any discomfort connected to the requests that our kids may be asking us. So are your kids hearing a lot of stress or impatience or even anger or, you know, kind of picking up on that kind of energy around your reactions to their requests? And again, to look at that just with curiosity and compassion and understanding that reactions are stemming from somewhere. There's something connected to that. And sometimes it can just be that sometimes as a mom, it can feel like our kids have so many needs and that often our needs are being backburnered. And sometimes our kids' persistent requests around food can highlight or emphasize that. And again, it's not our children's fault, but sometimes we project some of those feelings or pent-up emotions that are surfacing and being processed kind of beneath the surface when we're engaging in these situations with our kids, especially around food. So just something to consider, like, again, what are your default reactions to your kids' requests? And are there other things that are potentially coming up for you in these situations? And if so, to look at that through that compassionate lens in a way that recognizes like, hey, there's something here that maybe needs a little more TLC to support myself in increasing my capacity for the requests that my kids have, especially around food. Because when we can hold more space for what our kids are doing and engaging in, that allows us to better support them overall. And that kind of brings me to my last point here when we're thinking about how do I respond to my kids' requests? What's the right thing to say to them? And remember, it's not about the right way or wrong way, but more so learning to connect with your kid. And this is my third point, is that remembering that this is about the relationship that you're building with them, not hard and fast rules. Like, I'm all about moving away from rules and rigidity to the relationship that you're nurturing with your child. And ultimately, relationships are built on trust. And especially when it comes to feeding, we need to really keep trust at the forefront, because ultimately, when we can extend trust to our children, when we can learn to trust ourselves, like, that is what is so powerful for helping our kids internalize trust in their own bodies. And again, like, so many of us did not experience this growing up, and we experienced the opposite. Like, we experienced being told things or, you know, being communicated certain messages that we internalize as like, I can't trust my body. And that can be such a trigger point for eating disorders and disordered eating to escalate from. And so ultimately, at the end of the day, the foundation here is about building trust with your child and looking at some of these situations to help you better attune to maybe what those needs are, to be responsive to them in a way that helps facilitate and build trust in your relationship. Because especially when it comes to food, there there's only so much, right, that our kids can build in terms of trust, especially if they're hearing a lot of no. Like if they're hearing no, no, no repeatedly around food requests, that's going to wear on them after a while. And it's really hard to build trust with your child around food if they're repeatedly hearing no around food requests. And so when it comes to how should I respond to my kids in these various different food situations, you know, thinking about what are the ways that can best facilitate trust. And oftentimes that looks like validating their request and also taking initiative to follow through. But again, not saying no directly to the thing that they're showing interest in or wanting in that particular moment. You know, sometimes we have to defer that, but also like letting them know, like, hey, your needs also matter. And that can be such soothing balm for those of us who spent our childhood or so many years of our life pushing our needs aside in order to appease our caregivers or other people. Like, your needs matter. And we want to communicate those messages to our children in the way that we respond to them around food requests. So ultimately, that kind of stems back to this key foundation of remembering that the relationship is at the heart of it. And it's not about rules. Like, rules and rigidity are very rooted in diet culture. And if you are shifting away from that in your family, it requires a pivot towards trust and towards relationship. And this can be really hard, especially, you know, if you have that eating disorder history in your food story. You know, oftentimes the eating disorder creates that false sense of control, and food rules create this false sense of control. And it can be really hard to let go of that. And really, control comes from a place of fear. When if we don't understand something or we have anxiety around it, we don't trust ourselves, control and controlling something can fill in those gaps. And so it takes time. And I just want you to, again, like keep this at the forefront as you're navigating these different situations with your children. And just knowing that when you can focus on relationship at the heart of it, it really can help you kind of decipher how to maneuver through these nuanced situations. Like, do I say yes? Do I say no? And that brings me to my last little bit here for today's episode, which is how do we actually respond, right? Like, how can we say no? Because inevitably, those situations happen where like it's 8 o'clock in the morning and no, we can't go and get ice cream right now. Like it's just not going to work. So let's figure out how we can create that sense of relationship and also reliability and security around food while also, you know, being practical and feasible with the real life that we are navigating today. So a huge way that I like to do this is what I call leading with a yes. And I know I may have touched on this at various points on podcast episodes, but essentially, when it comes to responding to our kids' food requests, if it's something that we feel like I can't meet this request right now, and we've done the hidden agenda litmus test, like, is it my hidden agenda that wants to say no, or is it really not a feasible time, right? Like, these are all practical reasons why we couldn't say no to our food's request. It's not the right time. We don't have the food available or accessible. We may not have like the budget to buy certain items or things that our kids are wanting, especially right now with increasing food costs. Like, these are all completely valid reasons to have to say no to our kids' food requests. But again, it's how we say it. So I love this idea of leading with a yes. Essentially, like, what we're doing is we're saying yes to our child's request. We are validating their expressed interests, their expressed needs, their unique desires that they are, you know, feeling safe to share with us. And we want to validate that and acknowledge that those things are valid and okay. And hey, like, it's okay that you want cookies right now or candy or whatever it is. Those things are okay. We want to lead with that in our conversations with our kids in order to, again, create that safe environment around food for them and also just the reassurance that it's okay that they have these interests or wants for these foods. And this is really important. Again, for so many of us, unlearning and undoing the damage of constantly hearing no or feeling like I'm a bad person for wanting X food or whatever it is. Like, so this is where our response and our language around this can be really helpful. And one way I do that is by just starting my sentence with yes. And that is so powerful, again, because it doesn't mean that you're like giving into your child's request in that particular moment. However, you are yesing and validating their expressed interest or request. Yes, candy is amazing. I love it. You know what my favorite flavor is? I really like these particular candies or these colors. So delicious. And I could see why you would really want those right now. And you know what? We are going to make sure that next time we go to the store that we pick up some more of those so we can put them in your lunch or something like that, right? So you're leading with a yes. And that really helps support your child in acknowledging their request. Remember, like the relationship, your kids want to be seen. They want to feel heard and feel like what is important to them matters to you. And this is absolutely happening and unfolding in how they engage with you around their food requests. And this is why I love this topic, because it's such a beautiful opportunity to facilitate this, you know, embodied need of feeling heard and seen. And so, you know, really taking the time to validate that request for your child. And it doesn't have to be a whole long explanation, but sometimes when our kids can hear that we're acknowledging what they want, it really helps that kind of like anxiety around it come down a little bit. Like, oh, mom hears me. Like, it's okay. It's okay that I really want that right now. My kids love Slurpees from 7-Eleven. It's like their thing. And my husband sometimes after like a sports game or a practice might take them to 7-Eleven to pick out a Slurpee. And, you know, sometimes my son in particular like loves them and will ask for them outside of normal, you know, occasions where I could provide that. And sometimes just acknowledging that and saying, you know what? Yeah, those Slurpees are so good. They're really refreshing and nice and cool. I really understand why you would want one right now. And you know what? We're not going to be able to do that right now. But let's figure out another time where we can stop by there and get a Slurpee. You know, so again, it's that really intentionality around acknowledging their requests, validating what they're showing interest in, and letting them know that it's okay. Like, yeah, I know that you want that right now. And sometimes, you know, it's really difficult to get the things that we want right now. Another idea is this happens so often in the store for me, in the grocery store where we're shopping, I'm trying to get things on the list and my kids are like, I want this, I want that. Can we try this? And it can be so hard, especially if I'm like, this is my budget or this is what is on the list for today and I didn't have room for a lot of extras, whatever it is. And sometimes what I'll do is I will let my kids take a picture of whatever item it is that they're super interested in. And this particularly works well for my younger kiddos, so like 8 and below. But I'll let them use my phone and take a picture of that cereal box that they wanted or that cookie or that chip bag, whatever it is. And I'll let them know, like, you know what? I see that this is something really interesting to you. And I do want to make it a point for us to get this for you. And so let's figure out when we can do this. I can't do this today. However, I'm going to figure out when we can do this next time we come to the store. And I have this picture reminder on my phone so mommy will not forget. And sometimes that can be so reassuring to our kids to know that their needs matter to us. And it might seem so small and so insignificant, but I'm telling you, those little things will go so far with your kiddos. And the last little point here when it comes to just responding to your kids' food requests, and, you know, ultimately, like, we're leading with a yes because we can't give them what they want in that particular moment. And we're validating the request. And this last piece here is so key. And that is making sure that you are following through with what you said that you were going to do. This is essential to building trust, right? So if you told your child, like, you know what, at dinner, you passed out cookies, let's say for dinner, and you all enjoyed a cookie and your kiddo sees more cookies on the counter, like, I want another cookie. I want another cookie. Can I have another cookie, mom? And let's say in your head, you had a few more cookies left, but you were planning on saving those for tomorrow or using them in the kids' lunches or eating them at another time, you know, again, leading with the yes. Yeah, you know, those cookies were so yummy, and I know that you would really like another one right now. I am planning on saving those for tomorrow, and we were going to actually put them in everybody's lunches so everyone can have another cookie. And I will make sure that you get another cookie in your lunch at that time, right? So that's an example. And you want to make sure that you are following through with that request. Really crucial. And inevitably, you know, we slip up, we forget, we have so many different things going on. And this is where allowing our kids to help with this can be really helpful. So I've done this with my kids before where I'll say, why don't you go put one of those cookies in a Ziploc baggie and stick it in your lunchbox for tomorrow so we won't forget. Things like that, that can really just like that follow through piece is really helpful for allowing our kids again to feel that sense of security and reliability around food. So I hope that gives you some things to think about. I know I told you it wasn't going to be a clear cut answer, and I hope it just gives you some things to explore. And of course, I'm always open to your feedback, or if there's points to this episode that you feel like I could use some more clarification around or more examples, or, you know, have follow-up questions, please let me know. And I do want to follow up with just a couple things here as we wrap up this episode. And that is that if you have a child and you are getting persistent requests around food, whether it's food in general or certain kinds of foods, like if you are getting reoccurring requests that don't seem to end, that could be a warning sign or a red flag to pay attention to. Sometimes that is a symptom of a food preoccupation or a sweets preoccupation or a sweets obsession. And we really want to take some steps to look closer if that is, you know, something that is going to require different kinds of approaches. So I just wanted to put that out there because sometimes it's easy to gloss over that. And we want to think about how do I just kind of respond to my child to move on to the next thing. But we also want to be open and observant of things that are going on underneath the surface. So if there's a lot of requests happening around food, or if your child is having a really hard time moving on to from your response, or if you're getting a lot of tantruming happening around saying, you know, no to food requests, again, that could be a symptom of something else. So if you're struggling with that and need more help with that, definitely connect with me and let me know. I'll also put a link to my sweets guide in the show notes, which is 5 reasons why your child is obsessed with sweets and how to resolve it. Because again, our kids should be able to build tolerance to not getting what they want in the moment. But if they're having a harder time moving through that, then that can be, again, more problematic. And last thing here, sometimes I think we're asking more like, well, how do I say no without them feeling restricted? And sometimes I think the question that we might need to really be asking ourselves is, how can I actually say yes more frequently? And more often than not, I have found, and this is just my own anecdotal experience, that kids need to hear yes more than they need to hear no. And again, that's not to say that we need to give in to every single request, but this is especially true if you are trying to reverse a food preoccupation or a sweets obsession, or, you know, if your child was sneaking sweets and you're really trying to rebuild trust and connection with your child. Oftentimes, you need to err on the side of saying yes, at least more initially, in order to help support your child in building trust and for them to reliably understand that these foods are accessible. And, you know, again, sometimes we want to say no because of our own hidden agenda. And it's important to consider, do I need to consider how to say yes to their requests more frequently in order to help support their relationship with food? So again, a lot of things for you to consider. I hope this is helpful. And as always, so grateful for you connecting here with me and spending this time with me, and would love to hear from you if there's any follow-up questions or any topic or any way that I can better serve you on this podcast. This show is for you, Mama, and I'm just so glad that you're here. So thank you for being here, and can't wait to see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Lift the Shame podcast. For more tips and guidance on your motherhood journey, come connect with me on Instagram @CrystalCargis. Until next week, Mama, I'll be cheering you on. Bye for now.